This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Yeah. Everyone all set? Cocked? Locked? There we go. Your dial set correctly to USA Prepares. Thank you for being in class with us today. Jason's engineering the broadcast. Thank you, Jason. At GCN. I'm Vincent Fennelli. If you'd like to call us, we'll pay for the call, 866-582-9933, 866-582-9933. Gwyneth is with us live in Australia. Welcome, Gwyneth.
Hello, Vincent. How are you this morning?
I'm doing really well, really well. And I got your emails. I want to apologize to you, Gwyneth. I have been unavailable, been working on the farm away from the landline. And when you call, I'm not here. So I wanted to I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm not offended at all. I understand. Sometimes I'm doing my own farm work, and you know, over here when it's around about like between 9 in the morning and midday, and I'm out doing my own farm work. And I get a train of thought begins to happen. And I said, gosh, I've got to mention that to Vincent. And then I rush inside and get on the telephone because I think that it would be quicker to say what I need to say on the phone rather than sitting and writing an email. So that's just how it is. But usually I ended up writing a long email anyway. But that's just how it is. And you know, that this is when I'm doing my farm work, I don't know how it is with you, but that's when things occur to me. That's when I do my thinking.
Yeah, shovel therapy or tractor therapy, yeah. Right?
That's right. Horse breaking therapy. You know, I'm busy doing a repetitive, you know, training system with a horse. We've got to do the same thing like 10, 20 times over. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're watching the horse, you're watching its responses, but then it's sort of repetitive and you're getting to thinking, oh, well, you know, and you're thinking about everything else as well.
Right.
Well,
yep,
that's just how I am. But you're right, it's shovel therapy as well. And it's horse manure clearing therapy, all this sort of thing, mucking out therapy.
Yeah, cleaning out the stalls. Yeah, so that's what it's like on the farm. It's back-breaking work, and it's repetitive work, and it's do it over and over and over again. And with me in the tractor, if I'm baling hay, I'm going around in circles. And then when I'm done with that field, I go to another field, and I go around in circles. And I go to another field, and I go around in circles. And then, you know, if I'm mowing for the hay, I mow around in circles. And then if I'm raking, then I go around raking in circles. And then when I go to bale, I bale in circles. That's the way it is. And, you know, it's repetitive. And there's the drone of the engine, the hum of the engine, the roar of the engine. And not necessarily a constant speed, but almost. And, your mind wanders. You're absolutely right. And that's when I think about things that it's kind of like meditating in a remote way. But I understand you've got a new horse. I got your email about that. You want to tell us about that?
Yes. This horse is about the same age as my other horse, the horse that I had at first. But it's been broken for quite a few years. Okay? So both horses are about 6 years old. But the horse that I bought earlier on this year that I broken myself is only just broken. whereas the other horse got broken in about 3 years ago as a three-year-old, and it's been working for about the last 3 years. And so it's had a bit more work to do in its life. And with horses, I'm of the opinion myself that you really shouldn't break a horse before the age of 5 years old, because that's when the cartilage in their bones hardens. That's when they can be considered to be really properly fully grown. So that's the reason why when I saw this six-year-old unbroken horse come up for sale, nobody wanted it because everybody thought that it was too old. And it was on the market actually for about 6 months. And I kept coming back to it. And eventually I said, actually, I really, really like this horse. So I went to see it. I called up the lady and I went to see it. And this was the first horse that I got. And that's when I bought that one. But I've spent about since last March breaking it in, and I thought that it would be a good idea to get a second horse for a number of reasons. One that was properly broken in. For one reason, I could take it out with rides with my newly broken horse, with my son and I riding it, my son riding the fully broken in horse and me riding the newly broken horse. So that the horse that's been broken for a longer time can teach the newbie what to do, okay? It's like dogs. If you've got more than one dog, the older dog will teach the young pup what to do just by virtue of being around and saying, yeah, this is how things run here, you know? And this is what you do, you know, he feeds us at this time of night, and then, you know, you got to be on your chain, or, you know, you got to be in your kennel or in your run, and then when the sun comes up again, then he comes and gets us and lets us out again. You know, dogs, somehow, chickens, all livestock, cattle, you'll find that the older cows teach the young calves what to do. And that you really, these days, probably when you first got cattle, you needed to teach them your routine. But these days, you probably don't have to teach the young calves your routine because the older cows teach them. And that's, from what I've seen, that's the way it is with practically all livestock animals, everything from chickens to horses and cattle and everything in between. But like I say, the other reason, well, I got the other horse as a horse for my son to ride so that we could go for trail rides together and to be a mentor for my more recently broken horse and also to be an emergency backup. In case one horse goes lame, then you've still got another horse to get about on, you know, and this is it. And the fourth reason why I got this horse was she's broken to harness. She's a standard bred, and she's broken to harness. And I really do like the idea. I also do driving with a horse, you know, with a carriage as well or a cart. And so I like to drive sometimes. So the fact that this horse was also broken to harness as well as to saddle was another plus. But she had her own set of problems in that she had developed the habit of being lazy, which means that she's not forward moving. She's the very opposite. But as far as I'm concerned, that's probably a good problem for her to have, because my other horse, Lily, is very forward moving, wants to go, but it's a bit going to be good for her to have a horse that's not so forward moving to learn that there are other gears between, 2 and 5. If that makes sense, Vincent.
Yeah, and you mentioned, cows, and you know, class, you may not have a farm right now, and you may not be interested in horses, but what you learned is that, you know, you don't want to break a horse immediately. Yeah, you just learned that, so you got that in the back of your mind, so that if you decide to get a horse, you know, a year or two or 10 years from now, that's in the back of your mind. And when Gwyneth was talking about cows, we have what's called a lead cow. That's the cow that is in the front of the line, and the other cows follow the lead cow. And what's really nice is in our at our farm we have many many pastures and many fields. And when we call the cows to a specific gate, they know what's next. They know exactly where we're intending on taking them. And we don't have to take them there because they know the routine. And it's been learned for years. And you're absolutely right. The older cows teach the younger cows the routine. And you know, some of them are, you know, independent. Some are like USA prepares cows, and they, you know, they go off and do their own thing, and they they get lost. But some of them are stubborn, you know. But for the most part, they understand the routine, and it makes it really easy for us. They know that the grass is greener on that other pasture or that other field where we're going to take them. They actually can anticipate our moves. They can wait. Well, a lot of times they wait at the gate because they know I spent 2 days or a day, and yeah, it's time. It's time. The grass isn't as good because we've eaten it all down, and I know the family is going to come and let us go over there. They know that. And you know, I was thinking about your horse, and would you mind sharing with us about what the horse cost? If you don't want to, don't. But I just wanted to put this in perspective.
Yeah. You can get horses for a very inexpensive price, but you've got to be aware that you have to take the time to put into that horse, because probably it's going to have some problem or other. With this new horse that I've got, I mentioned that the problem was that she was lazy. She was not forward moving at all. And so I'm having to work with her now to encourage her to go a bit faster. And that started when I was on my trial ride. I got on her and I kicked her up, and she did not want to take even one step. But within 5 minutes, I had her trotting up and down the laneway. And that's just how it is. Now, because of that, she cost $350.
Which okay, is so you know, if you divide that out, that's about 25 cents a pound, Glass. So what can you get for 25 cents a pound? Not too much, right? You can't get candy for 25 cents a pound. So hey, you can get hay for 25 cents a pound, or actually less than that. But there's not much that you can buy in this world for 25 cents a pound. And that sounds like a wonderful bargain, you know, if you're prepared to feed and care for the horse.
Yeah, but like so, I say, if you're going to pay $300 or $350 or $500 for a horse, you've got to be prepared to learn how to educate that horse to be the sort of horse that you want it to be, because it's not going to be a riding school pony.
When we come back from this break, can you tell us about what the price of a decent, usable, quality saddle is? I'm not talking about something really fancy. I'm just talking about something that is serviceable, usable, and will last, I don't know, 20 more years. Something like that, a general-purpose saddle. We'll be right back with Gwyneth.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better.
better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay Wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
With a MechTech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MechTech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MechTech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Gwyneth Isaacs is with us. Yeah, she's live in Australia. She's a farmer. And she lives on an off-grid farm on acreage in Australia. No electricity from the grid, no water from the city water company. She takes care of all that herself. She raises her food, raises animals, and she gets up in the middle of the night and broadcasts with us on Wednesdays. Gwyneth, what does a saddle cost? Now, I'm talking about not a brand new one. But, you know, let's say a quality, let's say you get a horse that's, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, and you decide that you want to get a saddle. What would a used saddle cost? One that's serviceable, one that, for, you know, you can use for general purposes around the farm.
Okay. Second hand for a good quality leather saddle, you would be looking to pay around about between $200 and $500 for a second-hand, reasonably good quality saddle. Now, that said, I've got 4 saddles here, okay? And you might think, well, why do you need 4 saddles? One of them is a pony pad. That's a saddle for a pony, okay? Because I might get a pony one day, I don't know. The other one is called an Equitech saddle, and that is synthetic. It's made from that, you know, that cheap leather look-alike plastic stuff, and neoprene, which is wetsuit material. and that is called a synthetic saddle, and that is if I need to take the horse into water. But it's kind of cheap, it's sort of a bit grungy, and I don't use it very much. But the other two saddles are both of the same kind of saddle, and one of them I bought for $50, and the other one, I think that the other one was actually on the farm when I got here, but they're both the same make and model, slightly different, but they're both from the same maker, and they are from a maker called Sturben, which is a Swiss and German saddler. Okay, that's S-T-U-B-B-E-N. And the model is Siegfried. So they are two Sturben Siegfried saddles. And you can look them up on the internet. That's S-I-E-G-F-R-I-E-D. And the Sturben Siegfrieds have been made for around about the last 40 or 50 years by the Sturben Manufacturing Company. And I think that the ones that I've got are between about 30 or 40 years old. Now, they're very, very high-quality saddles. The Sturben company is a very... that's like the Mercedes-Benz end of the saddle market, okay? But they tend to be... let's just say they're German-manufactured and Swiss-manufactured to the sorts of standards that German and Swiss people are accustomed to. And Sturben, since World War II, has been manufacturing saddlery equipment for the German army. And so this is the type of quality saddle. One of these Sturben saddles cost me $50. And it's like anything. If you keep your eye out, you can get bargains. But normally, if you wanted to buy a second-hand Sturben saddle that was maybe 20 or 30 years old, you would be paying between $200 and $300 for it. So that is, that's about what you pay. But if you want to go the course of buying a new saddle for a good quality leather saddle, you'll be paying between, you'll be paying at least, well, for the very basic end, if you want a leather saddle that's made in India, okay, then you'll be paying about $500 for it. If you want a Swiss-German made, like a new Sturben saddle, then you'll be paying between $1,200 and $1,500 for it. And it can go up from there. You could pay $10,000 for a saddle if you wanted something that you would be happy to take to the Olympics. But really, for farm functionality, somewhere in the, if you wanted a new saddle, somewhere in the range of $500 to $1,500 would be satisfactory for you.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting, alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. The U.S. adding 428,000 private sector jobs in August, according to the just-released ADP private payrolls report. It's a huge improvement over the 167,000 jobs created in July. However, it is still below what analysts had been predicting. The Labor Department will be out with its jobs report on Friday. Still no deal looks close when it comes to Democrats in the White House negotiating a new COVID-19 relief package, though Treasury Chief Steve Mnuchin says he's trying.
I'm prepared to sit down with the Speaker at any time to negotiate. I think the issue is not what is the top line. I think the issue is we need now support quickly. That's what's important to the American economy. And if we need to do more, we can come back.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
It appears Americans are still a ways off from having any hopes of getting coronavirus stimulus relief money again, as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Democrats and Republicans are no closer to a deal than they've been in weeks. Pelosi says Democrats in the White House, in her words, have serious differences understanding the situation that working families are facing. This comes after Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin spoke over the phone for over an hour yesterday. Today marks the 75th anniversary of the official Japanese surrender in World War II, officially ending the deadliest conflict the world has ever seen. September 2nd was a formality. The Empire of Japan had announced its unconditional surrender earlier in August after the U.S. dropped atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The surrender documents were signed on board the battleship USS Missouri in Tokyo Bay. And Graceland is cleaning up after graffiti was sprayed on a wall all along Elvis Presley Boulevard, the Levitt Shell Amphitheater, and the iHeart Memphis mural in Midtown Memphis also vandalized. The graffiti calling for defunding police, abolishing ICE, and in support of Black Lives Matter. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
It's gonna be sliding. When you go to the for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
So, Gwyneth, it looks to me like, based on what you've said so far, that we could buy a horse and a saddle for less than $500. And some other things that we'd need, but the main expenditure would be the horse and the saddle, and it could be done for less than $500. What are your thoughts about? I've looked at images of the saddles that you're talking about. Some saddles have a horn on them in the front. You can put a rope on them. And some don't. What are your thoughts about a saddle without a horn? Because we have two saddles here at our farm, and they're Western saddles, and they're probably 50 years old. They're well used, quality, high quality saddles, but they're really used. I paid about $100 each for them. I don't have a lot of money in them, but they have horns on them. That part you can grab in the front that would, if it were an animal, would be a short horn. What are your thoughts about with versus without a horn?
With is definitely better. But I've just always ridden using, I think I've ridden in a Western saddle once when I was about 15 years old. I found them to be extremely comfortable and almost impossible to fall out of. Okay. Mostly I learned to ride using what you would call an English saddle. And that's mostly the saddle that I have used since then. But I would say if you are learning, and if you're in America, I know that there's a lot more Western riders in America, then, a horn is definitely useful, especially on a young horse, because it gives you something extra to grip onto. And sometimes young horses or newly broken horses, horses that have been broken for less than about a year, they can do some really silly and unpredictable things. And they can change in an instant in their behavior. And I would not recommend anyone who has never ridden a horse and never owned a horse, I would not recommend you buying an unbroken horse and thinking you could break it in yourself. Okay. When I bought my horse, because I had a time when my previous horse died and I had about 6 months when I didn't have a horse, and then I bought Lily, who is the unbroken horse that I just broke. But if you are going to break in a horse, you're going to fall off. That is baked in the cake. That horse is going to do silly, unpredictable, stupid things. It's going to do things like spook and buck and, kick and all the rest of it. Before it learns, that it's just got to settle down, and there's the trail, and you've got to ride on it, basically. that's the job. There's that window of time before they settle in and really learn what they're supposed to do, where they're going to do a whole lot of silly and unpredictable stuff. And if you're on such a horse, then a horn is something else you can hang on to. The other option is if you have an English-type saddle, you can get what's called, some people call it a monkey strap. Some people call it a bucking strap. Bucking because it's something you can hold onto if your horse bucks. That's, and a lot of rodeo riders have bucking straps attached to their saddles. And there's usually a set of D-rings at the pommel, which is the front of the saddle, on either side. And you, buckle the one side of the bucking strap onto one D-ring and then the other side onto the other D-ring. And then once again, it's something else that you can hang on to. I would say that Western saddles as a saddle technology are far superior to English-type saddles. But the advantage that English-type saddles have is that they are better for when you're riding cross-country, okay? So doing things like going through rivers, down valleys, over hedges, jumping your horse, and doing things like, dressage and this sort of thing, then that's when you need the English saddle. Because the Western saddle is great. You probably, like I said, it's pretty hard to fall out of a Western saddle, but you don't have the freedom of movement that you have in an English saddle. Okay. Now, the Australians, God bless them, they came up with a compromise, and that is called the Australian stock saddle. Okay. So, which basically happened around about, you know, 100 or 120 years ago or whenever, when some Australians got a hold of a Western saddle and decided that they could adapt it to their own uses and put a horn on an English saddle and make the flaps narrower. The flap is the thing that hangs down where your leg would sit. And on a Western saddle, it tends to be quite thin or absent, and you just have the stirrup leather, which is a lot thicker. You know, it might be 4 inches wide in a Western saddle, 3 or 4 inches wide, the stirrup leather with the stirrup hangs on. But on a English saddle, it's usually only about an inch wide, okay? But the Australians found that they could do this hybrid type saddle, which was had more or less the body of an English saddle, the freedom of movement of an English saddle, but incorporated things like saddle horn and smaller saddle flaps, you know, the flaps at the side. I'm not sure if that's the right name. I've never been to riding school. I learned how to ride at a trail riding place where I basically helped them with their horses with the chance to ride occasionally. And so I didn't have proper riding lessons, and I didn't, you know, they probably weren't the best behaved horses either. So I learned how to ride a variety of different horses. But this is it. If you want a good hybrid-type saddle where you've got something to hang on to at the front, but you've got the freedom of movement that an English saddle affords, then try and see if you can get a hold of an Australian stock saddle, although I don't know how common they are in America. You could probably order one on eBay if you really wanted to. Does that make sense, Vincent?
Yeah, it does. And where we are in Missouri, we are west of St. Louis. And St. Louis was the jumping off point to head west in the United States into the Wild West. I'm talking about the 1800s, the early 1800s. And if you're in Missouri and you go from one little hamlet to the next, you'll find that they're about 10 miles apart. Gwyneth, would you tell us why these little towns, little stopping points, are about 10 miles apart?
Yeah, because if you are riding a horse, okay, you'll find that after about 10 or 15 miles, that your horse will start to get a little bit tired, and that you might have to stop for an hour or two to give your horse a rest before you continue. And as well as that, if it was during the era of the Pony Express, they would have to change the horses. So, and usually a post office would get built there. Because, you know, if you were swapping the mailbags over, you might as well, you know, divide out the post for that area. And so you would find that you would, you know, you'd have the Pony Express stops about 10 or 15 miles apart, because especially if you're riding the horse hard and fast, you'll find that that horse will start to really get up a sweat after about 10 or 15 miles. There are exceptions. I used to have a standard bred retired harness racer, and he had won about 6 races in his day. He was a really fast horse, and I'd actually met people who won money on him and who recognized him. But he could canter 40 kilometers, and he'd be pretty tired at the end of it. He would need about 3 hours just to rest at the end of it. But I would canter him into 40 kilometres, that's about 30 miles, And then, he would have his rest and I would, go and do my supermarket shopping and I would, maybe have a cup of tea and a pie and some lunch and sort of visit some friends and all the rest of it. And then I would canter him home. This was in harness. So, but he was an exceptional horse. He wasn't your average run-of-the-mill horse, and he was the one who died. He caught his leg in a fence and did damage to his leg, and I had to euthanize him last year. That was sad because he was a really, really impressive horse, and I was very sad to lose him. But this is the other thing that you've got to take into account with horses is sometimes they have injuries where they are not going to heal, and you will have to put that horse down, okay? And like I say, that's the other reason why, especially heading into the time that we are heading into, that I felt that it would be really beneficial to actually have two horses here in case something happened to one of them. And they can get things like colic, which is they get wind in their gut or they get sand in their gut, and that can kill a horse in a day. Unless you know how to treat it. And, this is the thing. If you don't know how to treat it yourself, you've got to call a vet in or the horse is going to die on you. And the horses are something where it takes really a lifetime of being around horses to really get to know horses. But you've got to start somewhere. And if you're going to start somewhere, probably the best horse to start with is a horse between around about 15 to 20 years old that has been there and done that. Not necessarily the fastest horse on the block, but one with a good nature that has been in work through its entire life and is now middle-aged, maybe heading into old age, but still got a few productive years ahead of it that you can that you can really learn to ride on, okay? And that is a better idea. You're going to have a better horse riding experience if you start with a horse like that and get your own balance and your own horsemanship right with a horse that is not going to provide you with too many problems straight off the bat. Does that make sense, Vincent?
Yeah, it surely does. When we come back, can you tell us what does a horse need? So if we want to buy a horse, what do we have to care and feed it? We'll be right back.
Okay.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
I'm here with Scott Useum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Gwyneth, you mentioned colic. We had a dear friend and neighbor who had a horse for many, many years. It was an older horse, and it got colic, and it was down. And we were called to try to help get this horse up. And we tried and tried and tried, and we couldn't do it. Our son was there, I was there, another neighbor was there, and the owner was there, and we all tried, and it was too late. It was too late. We couldn't get the horse up. And ultimately, the horse died. And it's really quick, as you said. And then the next thing that happens is you bring out the backhoe. You dig a hole in the ground and you bury the horse. And it takes a backhoe, because horses are pretty big. And it was a real sad, sad day. It was just a terrible, terrible situation. But you're absolutely right. So life and death are part of being on a farm. And owning farm animals. Our cows sometimes die. Sometimes the calves get attacked, and you know, by coyotes. And so it's, you know, we're on the edge of life and death all the time. All farmers are. We're not special. It's just part of being a farmer. And so what we're talking about horses. What is involved in the care and the feeding of a horse? What does it cost? What does the horse need? What kind of shelter? How much water? Can you leave him around, you know, just for a few days without going to see him? Or do you have to see him and talk to him? And do they have to be part of your family every day? How does that work?
Okay. That varies a lot depending on what type of horse you have. Horses vary from animal to animal in how much they eat, okay? There's particular breeds that have a reputation for being hungry. I'm thinking particularly here of thoroughbreds and other hot-blooded varieties. They can cost maybe they can easily eat their way through $100 worth of grain and chaff and hay in a week, one horse. That's a thoroughbred, okay? But funnily enough, other hot-blooded horses are nowhere near as hungry. So if you get an Arabian, because they are bred from, you know, hundreds of generations of horses that basically lived in the Arabian desert, they, although they are a hot-blooded horse, I'll explain what hot blood means in a minute, by the way, so don't sort of worry too much about that now. But although they are a hot-blooded horse, then they, but they don't have much of an appetite at all. And you'll find that horses that are bred from wild stock are usually not very hungry. They usually can get by on hay, and usually they can stay in work when they're just on hay. Although Arabs, you'll find that they will need some grain if they're in work. But if you've got a Mustang, or if you've got one of the you know, European types of wild type horses that have been domesticated. So if you're in England and you have something like a New Forest pony or a Connemara pony or a Shetland pony, or a Welsh pony, all of those are bred from wild type horses, okay? And so you'll find that they can get by on hay. And the horse that I have, the first one, Lily, the one that I just broke, she is a Waler Mustang cross. So Australian wild type horse crossed with American wild type horse means a horse that is really good looking, but hasn't got much of an appetite at all. And she will eat, if she's on grass, at the moment she's eating one wheelbarrow full of hay a day. If she's stabled, she'll eat two wheelbarrow fulls of hay a day. And, you know, that is generally how it goes with, you know, horses that have a wild-type genetic, okay? But if you get horses that have been highly bred for many generations, so maybe things like I said, thoroughbreds, horses like Morgans, like Tennessee walking horses, and so on, I found that standard breds are a mixed bunch. Some of them are really hungry, and some of them can get by just on hay, because they're a funny blend of racehorse and cart horse. So some of their appetites go towards the racehorse end of things, which is going to be expensive to feed, and some of them go towards the cart horse end of things where they can live on hay. You've really got to make inquiry when you buy the horse of what it's been fed, because you'll find that every single horse is different. Even within a breed, you'll get some horses that are hungry and other horses that can live on grass or hay alone.
We're going into the top of the hour break. When we come back, can you tell us a wheelbarrow? Is that how does that relate to a square bale of hay? How much is?
Attention, radio listeners. Have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.